Norrie disease is a rare genetic condition causing blindness or severe visual impairment from birth. In addition to this, most of those affected individuals suffer from progressive hearing loss, often starting in early childhood, and the disease can also have other effects. Now, living with the disease brings its own challenges, but what is it like for a parent to get the diagnosis of Norrie disease in the family? Well, I'm joined now by Jackie Mann, who has faced this very thing with her son Micah. Hi, Jackie.
Hiya.
Now, I've tried to set the scene there. How is Micah doing?
He's doing very well, yeah. He has challenges, but generally he's a very happy, cheery, cheeky little boy. So.
And he's 7 years old now?
He will be 7 in a couple of weeks, yes.
Yeah. So how is the Norrie disease affecting him at the moment?
Well, he was born with no vision at all, and possibly a very small amount of light perception in one eye, which I think he may no longer have. And a couple of years ago when he was 4, he was diagnosed with an autism spectrum condition. So the two together, the blindness and the autism, have meant that he's very delayed in his development. He was very late to talk, although he never stops talking now, but it's often sort of conversation skills and things are difficult. And at the moment, that's the only issues he has. But he has learned, obviously, he doesn't know any different, and he's kind of learned to adapt. And as I said, he's a very happy, cheery little boy most of the time.
When did you realise that there was something wrong then?
Well, I think I can remember as soon as the midwives handed him to me that I noticed his eyes were very, very wobbly. They were wobbling around all over the place. And I know I have, both my parents are actually visually impaired, but partially sighted, and no family history of Norrie disease. But I'd seen that my mum had wobbly eyes, and so that kind of rang alarm bells with me. But I thought maybe that's just normal for a newborn. None of the midwives said anything, nobody pointed anything out. And then the next day when we left hospital, they do a newborn check, they looked at his eyes, nobody said anything. So I thought, must just be normal newborn. He was my first child, so I didn't know any different. But over the coming weeks, I sort of noticed at baby group that the other babies were gazing up at their mothers and he didn't do that. And it was a gradual process of me thinking there's something not right here, and then getting to the point where I just knew. I did sort of things, you know, waving my hand in front of his face and he didn't respond, and I just knew, and I assumed that it was there was some sort of genetic link, but I had no idea what it was. And so then I went to the doctor, I think it is 8-week check, and they referred us over to the Bristol Eye Hospital, and that's where they started the process of diagnosing him.
I can't imagine what that's like, to be a parent like that, because you and your husband, you know, it's your firstborn, you've been looking forward to your bundle of joy, and you know, you've got your dreams and your expectations. That this must, at that particular time, that must just take the bottom out of your world.
Yeah, it's devastating, really. It's kind of, I knew that something was wrong. So when we got the diagnosis, I wasn't really surprised. Although when I found out that he was totally blind, I wasn't surprised, but at the same time, we had kind of held out hope there might be something they could do to save some of his sight. And when they told us there was nothing they could do, that's as much as, like I said, I have parents who are visually impaired, and I've grown up around blind and partially sighted people, so I know it's not the worst thing in the world. But when it's your own child and you think about, the things that they might miss out on, the things that he'll never do, it's a grieving process, basically. You kind of grieve for the child you thought you were going to have and the things that you thought you were going to do with them and enjoy with them. For example, I remember thinking that he's never going to run around outside like other children do, and he's never going to draw me a picture and things like that. And it's really very difficult. And like I said, it's a grieving thing, I think.
I suppose you have to try and turn that around as time goes on, because there's possibly things that you'll find Micah will be able to do that you never thought he'd be able to do.
Yeah, and there's lots of things that I thought, you know, that things like seeing a sunset and all the kind of awe and wonder and things, but actually he still finds awe and wonder in all kinds of different things. He loves music. He loves, his favourite thing at the moment is listening to different sirens and things like that, and birds, and you know, and there's all kinds of, and he's actually looks like he's finding a bit of a talent for music. And there's all obviously all kinds of things that he enjoys and still has great experiences without his sight. And as I said earlier, he doesn't know any difference. So he's happy with what he's got. He's not missing anything. And I just, after kind of the initial grieving, I then became really determined that I was going to try and help him to achieve as much as he possibly could and make the best out of everything.
Now, you say that he's never known any different. So does he take this in his stride then?
He does. And I think his level of understanding at the moment, obviously, I don't think he understands that other people have vision and he doesn't or anything. And it's just his normal, I guess. And I know it does cause him some anxiety. He can be anxious over new situations or exploring new things, new toys or new, he can be anxious because obviously he doesn't always understand what's happening and he struggles with things. So it does cause him anxiety. But other than that, he's not aware that he's missing anything.
And he's got a little sister, I believe.
And, he has.
How does that all work then? Because obviously sometimes you're going to have to spend more time with Micah, aren't you? And yet you've got a three-year-old. So how do you do that?
Yes, it's a juggling act because she's also quite at a demanding age at the moment. So it's always a constant balancing and often it can be the other way around that she takes a lot of my attention and I feel that I'm, because Micah's very good at kind of playing by himself and but it's a constant juggling. I feel like I need to put equal time into both of them, but it's very difficult at times. And we're also trying to do so we have play therapists and things at home to help him develop new skills and things like that, and I'm trying to do as much of that kind of thing and help him. He's learning Braille at school. I want to be able to help him to do that at home as well, but it's trying to squeeze it all in with another child is a big juggling act.
And then you've got your own life to think about, and you've got you and your husband and your own relationship. Does this kind of ever put strains on that, do you think?
It did. Well, I'm actually me and Micah's father are not together anymore, and it wasn't a direct result of Micah's diagnosis or anything. That was just something that happened. But it did at the time when Micah was diagnosed, particularly he in his both of us with our grieving, it caused difficulties in our relationship because we were both trying to handle our own grief and it was very difficult. And we're no longer together. I do have a new partner now, but it can be difficult because the children obviously have to take priority, so we don't get a lot of time to ourselves. The other thing I find is we want, for getting childcare, if we want to go away or just even have a day out, it's much more difficult I can't get any old person to look after Micah. It has to be someone who knows him very well, knows all his little ways, and his communication is he communicates in with words but in an unusual way. It's not always obvious if you don't know him what it is he is trying to say or what he's upset about or whatever. So I can only use really his dad to look after him. So it can be very difficult to get any time to ourselves.
What about for friends and things like that? You look to the future. Does he have friends at the moment much?
At the moment, he doesn't really. I think that's a lot more to do with the autism than the blindness. Mm. He struggles with social communication. From about the age of 18 months to about 4, he was petrified of other children and he had real anxiety around other children. But gradually being at school and nursery, and he's now happy. He wants to interact with other children, but he doesn't know how to do that appropriately. And it often involves grabbing and hitting and things, so it's really difficult for him to build friendships. But he's recently moved last September to a school for children with autism, so that is all part of their curriculum anyway, is kind of working on social skills and building relationships and things. So hopefully over time he'll start to build some friendships.
It sounds like both he and you are learning as you go along.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's a complete learning curve. And, as I said, growing up around blind and partially sighted people, I thought I knew about it. But when it's a child who's blind from birth, I had no idea how much it affects development and how you have to completely rethink how most children learn just from observing and copying, whereas Micah can't do that. So you have to completely rethink how to teach him things, how to approach things. And it's a constant constant learning process for both of us.
Yeah, but I suppose it will grow though, won't it, as time goes on.
Yeah, definitely. And that, you know, as he's got older, I know him very well, and you learn all his, you know, how he likes to do things and how he learns best, and he teaches me a lot of the time. So.
So, what about support along this journey? I mean, we're talking about 7 years now. Has there been much support out there for you?
There was a lot of support with the blindness at the beginning. We're very lucky in Bristol that we've got a really good vision support team, sensory support service with the council, and he's got an amazing teacher for the visually impaired called Claire, who has been with us since he was a baby, and she has been a massive support. So there's always been a lot of support. They've helped with changing schools and all that sort of thing, so that's always been good. The other issues, the kind of the autism and also the worry of future hearing loss, there initially I didn't have a lot of support with that, but I've over the last couple of years joined a couple of Facebook groups for families with Norrie disease, which has been really nice to kind of have other parents who, you know, are in a similar situation and facing similar challenges, and, you know, to read and see that there are other children out there like Micah is really, you know, makes you feel a lot less isolated. And also over the last, I think it's in the last year or so, some UK parents have formed the Norrie Disease Foundation, which is a charity which is supporting families, and they're always there to support, and they've arranged a couple of family fun days where we can meet other families and things, and they're getting involved with Great Ormond Street to do some research into the hearing loss and that sort of thing. So that really helps to feel like there are other people out there who can understand what you face, and that things are being done to try and kind of improve the lives of those with Norrie disease.
I mean, there must be days when you wake up in the morning and you think, I just can't do this. But then you do. I mean, what keeps you going?
Micah and his sister, I guess, because, yeah, there are times where I just think there's just too much. There's too much to think about, too many things that I feel I should be doing. I always feel like I'm never doing enough for him. If I could put more time in or do more of this or get this for him, then he would be able to develop more or better. So there's always that. And, yeah, there are times when I've had to fight for things that he needed, for support or for the right placement for him, all kinds of things. And I've just, yeah, and you feel like you can't do it. But then he comes along with his cheeky, happy ways and makes me think it's all worth it.
Yeah, he sounds like a lovely boy. You look into the future, obviously it's early days. What would be your kind of dream for Micah? Because I suppose you're still learning and he's still growing. You don't know what his talents and what his real passions are going to be, do you yet?
No, it's difficult to know where he'll be in 10 years or 20 years. But what I'd really like for him is to be able to, you know, when he's an adult, to be able to hopefully live independently, you know, in his own place and have friendships and hopefully, you know, some sort of job or volunteering, or, you know, just for him to be happy, really, as long as I don't mind what he does, what he wants to do. But the main thing really is just for him to have as much independence as he possibly can, and to be happy and have friendships and things he enjoys doing, and just be able to have a good quality of life and happiness, really.
And you too.
Can I ask for?
And you too, though.
Me too, yes. Well, if he's happy and his sister's happy, then I'll be happy.
Now, for those that are listening just now that may be facing where you were 7 years ago and don't know what the future holds, if you were to give one piece of advice to a parent, what would it be?
I guess it would be, well, initially that it's okay to have all the kind of, that it's a grieving process and it's okay to feel these feelings, because I can remember sort of beating myself up thinking, I've still got my child, I haven't lost him, he hasn't died, why do I feel so awful? But realizing that's a normal process and that things do get better, and that to try and sort of focus on the positives and bring out the full potential in them, and also to seek support from other parents, other families, Facebook pages, that kind of thing, people in the same situation, because that really helps with you. You can feel very isolated when you first find out, because all your friends have, you know, sort of normal children, and you feel, why me, and why is he the only one? And definitely seeking support from other people who've been through similar things or going through similar things is really important to help you kind of come to terms with it all and see all the positives in things.
Yeah, I suppose that's where social network, that's one of the positives of it, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Because I think without that, we wouldn't, because Norrie disease is such a rare thing, it would be very unusual to just come across somebody in a similar situation. So, yeah.
We look to the future, don't we? The future is inevitable, so it's up to us to make the best of it. And it sounds like you've got a nice, lively family there.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sorry that, but if this has been a bit painful for you, but I do appreciate you chatting with us because I think your story will resonate with so many other people that are living through this and perhaps feel a bit guilty that they feel, you know, the negative side of this at times.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah.
It is a natural process, as you say.
It is, yeah, definitely. And yeah, but there is also so many positive things out of it, and when he does achieve things, you know, there's so much more when he does. You know, he's worked so much harder to achieve things, so when he does achieve them, it's even more of a good feeling than perhaps if a typically developing child achieves things. So
yeah, I know what you mean, and my money's on the music. I think it'll be the music.
Yeah, I think so. I can see him. He's had a keyboard since he was very young, and he just, he's learning to play. So he has music therapy at school. He's learning to play some tunes on the keyboard, but he enjoys just pressing the different buttons and mixing up the different sounds and things. So I think there'll be like, something in there.
Sounds like a hip-hop producer.
Yeah, he could be. You never know.
Jackie Mann, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much for listening.